Hey, everybody. I'm Jane.
And I'm Sarah.
And you're listening to the Medium Curious Podcast, the show that's bringing mediumship out of the dark ages and into the mainstream.
Nice. Throw that in. In today's episode, we're calling Medium Why, and we're bringing on my best friend, Eliza, who we've talked about in many of the previous episodes. And you will see why she's so important to this story. I can't wait for you all to meet her.
Awesome. Here we go. Hi, Eliza. Eliza is here, everyone. This is so exciting. Welcome.
Thank you. I am so honored to be here. Thank you.
Oh, well, you're pretty famous. You've been mentioned pretty much in every episode of this podcast. And so we knew this day would come, and I'm really happy it's here.
Keep that up.
Yeah. Well, you're kind of the reason that I got into mediumship. You know, we've known each other for 20 years? Over 20 years?
We met 22 years ago. Yeah.
Before we had kids. Yeah. We had all six of our kids together.
Yeah. All six of our kids together.
That is a very interesting way to say that. Do you want to clarify? You had six kids together.
So when I was pregnant with my first, Eliza then got pregnant with Caleb.
I was very inspired by her, and I had to get on it right away because I wanted those boys to be close. Yeah.
So then we moved close to each other. Mm-hmm. And then I got pregnant with my second, and you're like, okay, I'm having my second.
Yeah.
And then when Caleb crossed over, you're like, I need a third, and I need you to have a third with me.
Because we were done.
Yeah,
we were done. We had decided we were done.
Yep.
And so when Caleb passed...
Yeah, I was like, I'll do whatever you need. We just need to convince my husband that I need to have a third. And actually, you know what? It was Laura Lynn Jackson who convinced him.
And it's, what?
Yeah. We were at a wedding, and you just dragged Laura Lynn over to my husband, and you said, okay, now convince him that he needs a third baby.
And right.
She like brought through his dad, and it was like this whole magical thing that happened right then and there. And the message basically was, you're never going to regret this little beautiful daughter that is on her way. And I got pregnant next month.
Yeah. So I'm already pregnant. Oh, and she promised him he'd have the boat, and you have the boat now.
Oh yeah. That's right.
Remember that? I just remember that came through. Yeah. You're going to get the baby, and you're going to have the boat. You're going to have it all.
Yeah. The boat doesn't run, but
it's all right. It's a work in progress, but
the boat floats. So
it floats, yes.
This doesn't go
long as you can work out there on the boat. Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, the other crazy thing is that this story about the reading with my husband and the story about Caleb is all in her book. She's written about it. So listeners, if you want to read these stories, they're really cool. Just check out Laura Lynn Jackson's book, Signs.
Yeah.
It's all
and actually,
there.
Like a lot of this story, the origin goes back to her first book, The Light Between Us, because that was very first exposure to mediumship and what was possible. She actually, if we rewind a little bit, you know, I had no idea about what mediumship was. I mean, it had a curiosity as a child about, I mean, I think I owned books kind of like you, Jane. Like I had a book called like Exploring the Fourth Dimensions. I did tarot card readings. So I had like this interest in what was called the occult at the time. And I loved that for years, but then I met my husband and I kind of let it all go. I mean, he's just very grounded in sort of science space. And I just
he's an engineer.
Yeah. And I didn't want to know anymore. I didn't want to do a tarot spread and find out it wasn't going to work out because, you know, I loved him. I wanted him to be my future. And I felt like tarot always told me what was going to happen. I didn't want to know anymore.
Watch out for that death card.
That's actually a really positive card in the tech, but yeah.
It turns out. Yeah. But yeah. At the time you're like, I don't want to know if this isn't perfect.
I didn't want to know. I kind of put it all away. Where was I going with that? Oh, so I hadn't been thinking about any of this. I didn't know anything about mediumship. And, you know, after losing Caleb so suddenly and just feeling like he was torn from me, I just thought everything went black. I thought his world has gone black. My world has gone black. And how am I ever going to make my way through this. You know, I had this beautiful daughter, you know, to raise. And I wanted to keep my family together, but it was just lost. And I think I started hearing from Laura Lynn's sister-in-law. She kept saying, oh, Laura will do a reading for you. She'll do a reading for you. She's going to do it for free. She, you know, she knows you. She's going to do a reading for you. And I don't think I even understood what that meant. And I don't even think it like a processed it at all. I just, you know, I was in deep grief and that didn't make any sense to me. And I said, okay, yeah, schedule it. Sure. Not having no idea what a gift that would be. And she said, well, why don't I give you, she actually was working on the book, The Light Between Us at that time. And she actually forwarded me the manuscript to read before it was published. Wow. So I knew, you know, how she worked and what to expect. And I started reading it and I never put it down. I mean, it was like the most, like that first moment where she hears all these children in the car at the beginning of this book was the most fascinating, like moment of just like realization and hope for me. And from that moment on until her reading, I just felt like this light, like this lifting, like this lightness of being that I had not felt in weeks. I mean, it was about a month between his passing and when she did the reading. And I think, yeah. So.
And that then, is such a gift. What an incredible, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'll just like all the angels and the Caleb that facilitated that, you know, like how incredible.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it was just that reading that she did. She sat on the phone with my husband and me for 90 minutes. I walked away from that with not a single doubt that he had survived, his consciousness had survived, that his personality had survived, that he was accessible to me. Wow. It was not a single doubt in my mind. That was like the greatest gift I could have been given at that time. And it allowed me to sort of start to put one foot in front of the other and also just opened up my eyes to this entire like the universe, the world, like what's possible, and just set me, you know, down this whole path of, you know, reading every book I could get my hands on and Barnes and Nobles or anywhere, anything that was recommended. I read all her books. I read all the books about mediums. I read all the Destiny of Souls. You know, I read, you know, the Seth books. I mean, I could just go on, and Brian Weiss, and just this exploration of the afterlife and the exploration of why we're here and how much bigger, you know, the world is than what we perceive.
Yeah. I love your library. Every book you said I've had and read multiple times. We're going to put a library on our website for
We should.
Yeah.
Well, it's all in the show notes. All the books will end up in the show notes. So you can just check there and they'll all be there.
Yeah.
No, we should become like affiliates for Amazon or something. Wow. Oh, I've never actually heard that story, Eliza, like how that all came down. I've like read about you in her books, but like I've never heard it from you. That was really amazing to hear.
It was amazing. And it was, you know, she just embodied him and everything she said, I mean, it felt like it was coming from his mouth. And she also said something really mind-blowing, which was, I chose you. You chose me to be your son. We all chose to be together. And we all chose this experience, like even the loss. And I couldn't imagine a world or a scenario in which I would ever say, yes, yeah, I'm going to lose you at 6.5. And so where that took me was, okay, if I actually in some other dimension was able to say, okay, like we're going to have this relationship, we're going to learn from each other, we're going to have this beautiful bond, and then I'm going to lose you. And if I'm willing to do that, then I must know that I'm not really losing him. I must know that like this connection goes so much further beyond like the physical realm. That's because great. I mean, on so many levels, right? I mean, the fact that that even happened, the fact that I would agree to lose him. And, you know, eventually, I think through all of this, it kind of made me realize like, I could never lose him again. I mean, meaning I haven't lost him. Like,
right.
I now know I could never actually lose him. And I could never, you can never really entirely, you can lose him physically. But that loss, I mean, that connection is absolutely always there, like undeniably.
And he's always sending you signs. He's so amazing at that too. I want to talk a little bit about when he was little. He's such a cool kid. Like, he was also completely obsessed with the numbers 1111 and like 555 and 444.
Yeah. Angel numbers.
Do you want to tell us about that? It's so cute.
Yeah. It's so cute. So, you know, he's in kindergarten and, you know, the world is opening up to him and he's starting to learn about all these things and he's just really creative and imaginative. And I think they were doing a unit on time. I mean, they were learning to tell time. And he just thought 1111 was like the cat's meow. Like,
it was 1111 just a second ago.
Oh yeah. What is your saying? It was 1111.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So he thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And he would actually have me like on the phone, take a picture when his dad was at work, take a picture when it turned 1111 and send that to daddy. He's got to see 1111. And he loved 1234 because it was 1234 and he loved 123 and 555 and 444. But it was really like the big one was 1111. So he was kind of obsessed with that. And what also was interesting, what kind of went alongside that was, I do think that he had a knowing at some unconscious level that he would pass early, because he was really kind of obsessed with the passage of time. Like, he would ask on vacations in that last year, like, how much time, like, how far through this vacation are we? Or how many more weeks are left? How many more days are left? What percentage of the time is left? And he just seemed like he always wanted to get home so he could play. Like, he couldn't get enough playing in. And he would say to me things like, you know, what would happen if somebody took me away to jail? And I said, well, I would break in and I would steal the keys and I would get you out of jail. He's like, well, what if this happened? How would you get to me? And I would always say, I'll find you. I will get to you.
Oh.
And no matter what, but it was a constant conversation about how we could never be kept apart.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's so true. You like haven't let anything keep you apart.
No.
Oh, I'm getting chills.
I know. But it was also, I mean, I just feel like I have to mention this. He asked me, he said, how did it go? He said, Mama, what do you think happens when you die? I mean, he asked me this probably a few months before he passed. What do you think happens when you die? And I said, well, people have different beliefs and, you know, some people believe that nothing, that's just dirt to dirt. And some people believe that you go to heaven. Some people believe you live another life. And he said, okay, well, if anything happens, promise me that you'll always be my mom. I'll always be your son and we'll always be together. And we'll have, I think he said like, and we'll have other lives together. Or he made me promise that we would always come back together. And I mean, what 6-year old like thinks about reincarnation? And his favorite song was a Willie Nelson, Highwayman. The song is called Highwayman, and it's a beautiful song, and it's about reincarnation. Absolutely, yeah. Hands we'll down, his favorite song.
That's so crazy. Yeah. That's so wild that a little boy at that age, their favorite song is that song.
And, you know, my nephew who crossed, he would talk to his mom a lot about death too. Like, it was a huge topic the year before he died when he was 14. Yeah. So, and I mean, I don't think it's like, oh, that's a portent that someone's going to necessarily leave the earth. But it is really interesting that these are like really philosophical little humans who already have like, you know, the big picture. And I just want to say, I am so grateful. I was just thinking this morning about how grateful I am for Laurelyn Jackson and like, you know, here she just hurt the fact that she was so brave to step into this work when she did, like long before. Like, we are on the crest of a wave where this is going to be absolutely and totally accepted and heralded. This is me manifesting. People are going to be like, oh my God, you're a medium? That's the coolest thing I've ever heard. I mean, some people say that, most people don't. So that's coming.
It's amazing.
And here comes the light. You see, I'm like, ah! But with her, like, you know, just the courage. She was a teacher. She was like, she was very courageous. So I was just feeling grateful for her. And now hearing like how critically important that was for your grieving, because that's what you experience, like the very worst thing like a human can experience, I feel. And so here, however many, it was only like, what, 4 weeks in, you had that profound like awakening. It was like this expansion. And and she was the gifter of that. So I'm just feeling really grateful to her.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. And I, you know, she brought me a lot of gifts. And, you know, when I think about where I want to go with this, I mean, I want to give that gift back. I mean, you know, especially like just thinking about, you know, parents, you know, I'm thinking more specifically about parents and grief, but obviously for anybody, but, you know, the gift of knowing that your child is okay. I mean, that's the thing. So you lose a child, you spent your whole life just wanting to keep this child safe. You want to know they're okay. What's that phrase that my mother-in-law always uses? You can only be as happy as your saddest child, right? Mm-hmm. So I lose him, and my grief even aside, I can't even think about processing my grief until I know where he is and what happened to him and what he's experiencing. Because he'd never been out of my realm. You know, he had always been somebody who I knew exactly where he was and what was happening with him. And so she really connected me with him and let me know that he was okay and that he wasn't just sitting on the sidelines, you know, wishing he was still back here with our family. He was free. He was happy. He was still with us. He was so very present. And I think where a lot of parents in grief can get stuck, and rightfully so, is when you feel like I'll always have this sadness and this grief for not having him in this life, but knowing that I don't have to hold the grief for him, like it doesn't mean I love him any less if I'm not shutting myself down and holding myself away. And I think parents feel the need like to carry this grief as a symbol of their love for their child and that heaviness. And I think that reading really allowed me to realize that like he didn't want that for me. Like he wanted me to keep celebrating. He wanted me to raise these girls. You know, he wanted us to enjoy ourselves and go on vacations and live our life and live it in his, you know, in his honor. And stay connected. And that was a really important lesson for me. Yeah.
Oh, that's huge.
Being your friend and watching you do that. I mean, I'm just so in awe of you and so in wonder of how you, I mean, when he crossed, I had no idea what would happen. I had no idea, you know, how you would make it through, and to see how you did make it through. And
you were a big part of that, of why I made it through. So, and you had a baby with me, and if we another baby, and I want to
second grade together.
Yeah. We're in class together, but we got to go back to the signs a little bit. So circling back to the 11/11. So before I had the reading, the 11/11s were already pouring in, and I couldn't really, you know, they weren't quite getting through to me, but, you know, our friend Tracy would come to me and say, I just went to a restaurant today and my receipt was $11.11. And tonight I just went out to dinner and the address was 1111. And they just kept happening over and over again. And we, Sarah and Tracy and I, at this point, we went out to our favorite pizza restaurant a couple of weeks after. And, you know, these women like just stood by me and we're all trying to carry each other. And we get to the restaurant and normally we would all eat and, you know, split the tab three ways or however many of us were there. And the bill arrives and it's literally $111.10. So that's 111.10. So we're looking at this 11. And I mean, Tracy's son, Nico, was one of Caleb's best friends, like along with Luke and, you know, his other friend, Emmett. But, so that was hilarious on its own and really important. And then Sarah's like, oh, I forgot my wallet. So we said, that's fine. You're good for it. So Tracy and I split the bill 50-50, which came out to, I think they came out to 55.55 each, which was like another one of his numbers. His and numbers, then that made the tip that we each left $11 each. So she left 11 because that's the 20% math on it. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it was just, and it kept going like this. And then the big one, 11/11.
Yeah, that is. So I after Laura Lynn told David, my husband, that yes, you do need to have a third child, we started trying the next month, and I had taken a pregnancy test like on 11/10 and it was negative. I was like, okay, well, I'll try taking another test tomorrow. And on 11/11, I got a positive pregnancy test, and I was able to text Eliza a picture. It's like, check out this 11/11 sign.
Which is also like two lines on a pregnancy test. I mean, the whole thing was crazy, and it was on 11/11, and yeah, I think we were headed to the park to release balloons that day, and yeah. So
wow. And then was there one last night? I heard something about it.
Sarah and I were kind of reviewing some of these things, and later on, my husband was buying tickets to, we want to go back to, you know, to Maui to see my parents in April, and we're fiddling around with the miles and just trying to make it work because it's so expensive. And finally, we got three tickets paid for by miles, and the last ticket we had to pay for in cash, and the total of the ticket was $1,111. And it had been like fluctuating throughout the search, you know, the different prices, but the one it ended up on was $1,111.
Yeah. That's too good. That is too good.
I mean, it's just, yeah, it's so commonplace now, and it's always meaningful, but they just keep rolling in. So, yeah.
So Eliza, you've also done a lot of educating yourself in energy medicine. Is that what you went to school for?
Yeah. So I think in the beginning, it was an interesting transition. I mean, I went from, you know, I need to find other mediums so they can connect me with Caleb, and I need to read all these books, you know, about all, and just hear what mediums can do and try to, you know, understand what happened to him. But it was basically, it never occurred to me that I could access him on my own without a medium, without another medium, that was something that was accessible to me. I think it was probably Carla in Maui who came out as a medium also around 2016. And she, you know, really held my hand along the way. This is my mom's neighbor, and really helped me through a lot of like connecting with Caleb and the grief. And at some point she said, you know, you can learn to do this. Like, we all have our own intuition, our ability to connect. And here's this amazing energy medicine program that's in your backyard in Marin. So I took that, I did that program about an 18-month program. And that wasn't quite mediumship. It was more about, you know, looking at energy fields and sort of diagnosing the health of the energy field. But it taught you a lot about subtle energies and how to access your own intuition. And I think throughout that, I felt myself open up. And when I would meditate, I would get these, you know, sort of downloads of all these different memories with Caleb, but I didn't trust it. I mean, I felt like maybe I was connecting with him, but, you know, these are memories that exist within me that, you know, I didn't trust it. I felt like I didn't want to believe anything that was just going to make me feel better. Like, I needed to know I was connecting with him. And so one day I'm sitting and I'm meditating, and he brings me to this memory of this bakery that I used to take him to after school. He loved treats, and it was just so fun to give him treats. And so I would take him and his sister, and we would stop at this bakery and get these like ridiculous cookies. And so he's bringing me back to that moment. And suddenly I realized I wasn't seeing it from my perspective. I was being shown it from his perspective in the back of our SUV, from his car seat.
Wow.
I have never in my life sat in the back seat in his car seat. I have no idea what that would look like. And I suddenly realized I could see myself in the front. I could see the other passenger seat. I could feel I was back there. I could see the darkness of the seats back there and the can't, you know, the bakery there. And I was like, holy, like he was showing me from his perspective. And I think that's what he thought. He knew he needed to do that for me to trust it, because
right,
I wouldn't have seen it that way otherwise. And I, as time went on, I began to really trust that we were connecting. And he would do other things, like he would show me scenes from our old house, but from an angle that you really couldn't humanly see, you know, like from the outside of a window that cranks open from the inside, like at a funny angle, or there would just be things that were definitely not from the perspective that I would have seen them when he would show me the memories.
That's so beautiful.
He's so smart. Yeah. He's such a smarty pants.
Yeah. That's so cool. He's like literally showing you his perspective.
Yes.
And then you're learning, and you were all the while learning, you know, essentially how to have, just, I don't know why I suddenly was like, the perspectives, that's so beautiful. It has a nice,
I mean, yeah, literally expanded my perspective. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's where I was trying to get to.
Yes.
And it's mind blowing. It blows my mind. It's amazing.
Yeah. And so, you know, that started to happen. And then, you know, Jane stepped forward as a medium. And remember, we did that. Well, we did the class, but we also did, you did a gallery reading at my house, which was beautiful. And you were still kind of in the closet then, but you were like slowly stepping out.
Right.
And you like nailed it. You did a reading for like 12 people at once in a gallery reading.
Sweating for 2 or 3 hours or something. No. So cool. You were so,
It was unbelievable. And you for a while were all, you know, like you were, I was telling Sarah the video, I was like, remember when the kids were, you know, this was after we had lost Caleb and we were, my living kids were in the living room rearranging, you know, building a big fort and moving all the furniture around and putting blankets over things. And suddenly my phone pings. And you said, oh, I've got Caleb here. And are you rearranging your furniture? And I was like, are you outside my window? Like, no, I'm in the bulb or something. I'm just walking down, you know, and just really showing me like how present that he was, you know, like those are the things that really, you know, knowing that he's present in your daily life like that, like when he comes through you, through Sarah, through other people and is able to recount and give evidential information about like what my girls are doing, what his sisters are doing, what I'm doing, what Tim's doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. I love that. I guess what I love about this conversation is I feel like you show us how to hold all of it, like all the way to all the like excruciating grief, all the way to the extraordinary beauty. It like feels like the whole spectrum is represented, even just in the sound of your voice. Like the journey that you've been on has created this. I almost like a crystal, and the light that you can shine, and the powerful. I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is, example or template for other people who have this kind of profoundly painful experience. Anyway, that's what I'm seeing, and it's so.
Well, it's interesting you say crystal because you know when I just think about. I don't know. All the light we cannot see. I know that's a book. That's not why I'm saying it, but it's, you know, I think about a crystal and how it refracts the light and how from this stream of white light, all these rainbows of colors like erupt from that. I mean,
yes.
Right. Like I think about that metaphor about like all the unseen things around us that are right there, you know, but
yeah,
just kind of sort of interdimensional. You know, I have not done it alone. I mean, amazing community. But also, you know, I have I want to talk about Carlo in Miami for a moment because there's a lot of different Carlos in my life. So we've got Carlo Maui and Carlo Miami. When I was really, you know, yeah, you have these lifts and these dips. And in one of those dips, I really said, you know, Tim and I were going to these different grief groups and I wasn't really connecting a lot with the parents who had lost children in those groups because they tended to be older children, like in their teens and drug overdoses and so forth, which was amazing because they all had each other. They had these similar scenarios of these teenage children they had lost and these like unfathomable loss. And I said, look what they have. I said, I just want like a universe. Can you please just connect me with like another mom who lost a son and he's around Caleb's age and left a sibling behind and, you know, is still in her marriage with her husband and is like, I wanted everything. Like I wanted another me to sort of hold hands with and step forward with. And Tim and I were already doing that, but you know, it was important for me to find another mom. And, you know, and he had found some other dads to share this with. And on Caleb's first birthday, the first birthday he had after he crossed, on July 27th in 2015, Laura Lynn Jackson did a reading for this woman, Carla, across the country in Miami. Mm. And Carla had lost her son very unexpectedly also. He was 7 and he left behind a little brother who is named Caleb by chance. And basically in the reading, when her son Calder came through with Laura, so they're triangulating, we've got Calder coming through and he starts bringing up Caleb, his brother, but said, no, there's another Caleb. There's another Caleb. And she then feels my Caleb come through and these boys get together and are basically like, you mamas need to meet. Yeah. Yeah. And she connected us and it was, Carla and I have been like on this journey together. I mean, it's been, you know, 8+ years now, since
and
we
Carla's
became friends.
A medium too.
Carla's an amazing medium. You know, we have gone to grief retreats together. We've gone to Omega together. We've gone to Sedona together. You know, we've gone to these mediumship conferences together, earlier on, more when we were stalking mediums instead of trying to become mediums. So, I mean, that was an amazing gift. And that was completely, like fostered by those two boys together. And Yeah.
That's also in the book, Signs.
Oh, that is also in the book. Yeah. Yeah, that is in the book. I think there's a whole chapter about that.
Yeah. Because it's so amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So yeah, that was a big gift.
Amazing. And so. I guess I want to ask a question about how in the daily, like, so he shows you the signs of the 11-11s and the, but you know, just how do you like, so for someone who hasn't experienced, like you explained a minute ago, like the POV thing, like I see it. Can you just help, you know, listeners who haven't help describe what that experience is like?
Okay. I think it's just being open. I mean, you have to, first of all, like just being open to these possibilities, right? So learning to recognize when you're getting those signs from them, when you're kind of in the flow with them. And just being open to all those little things that come in, all those synchronicities and all those things that just seem like, how can this be? You know, how is my bill 11-11? Or how is it that, I am talking about Caleb right now and a yellow balloon is floating up behind you. I mean, the amount of things that would happen like this, you know, Tim and I would be out in the back deck and, you know, we were crying early on and sorry, just to back up, we released 600 balloons at his memorial. So balloons became a sign, and we would be out there in the back deck and balloon would fly by and so forth. So there's just being open to like all those signs and connections because they are there and they're happening all the time and they're meaningful. And I feel like anytime you acknowledge a sign and recognize them, like your heart is with them and you're connecting with them. But throughout just like a daily, you know, it's not always daily, but a meditation practice, you know, you sit and kind of just sit and set the intention to connect. And sometimes I can feel him, sometimes I can't. But he pops in. You know, if I make the space for it, he will pop in. And I was thinking about a scenario the other day where I had been meditating and I had felt him. This was actually maybe more than a year ago because I can't remember completely clearly, but I had been meditating and there was something that had come through in the meditation that I felt like I wanted to tell my husband. It was either for him or it was an important, and I felt like it was from Caleb or about Caleb, a message for him. And, you know, we're sitting in the kitchen, it's the pandemic, so we're both home and I'm telling him about this meditation. And I said, oh, and you know, it was really cute. In the end, as I'm sitting in my mind's eye, I said, I just saw this little duckling swim towards me. I mean, out of the blue, this duckling after the message, like, I love you, daddy, whatever it was, swims towards me. And I said, it was just so cute. It was so Caleb. Like, he just sent a little duckling towards me. And he stopped. My husband stopped. And he said, a duckling? I said, yeah, you know, kind of like the ugly duckling. It was like a little duckling. And at that point, he's sort of stunned because he hadn't told me about this. He had had a conversation 2 days before that on his way home from basketball with my dad about this old fixer-upper day sailor boat that they had bought for, you know, for Maine in the summer. And the whole joke was, it's not a pretty boat. It'll sail well, but it's not going to be pretty. So let's name it Duckling, like the ugly duckling. And I was like, what? So, you know, it's like those moments, you know, if you stay open to it. I mean, I happened to tell him that. And then there was this whole connection about, you know, it's again saying, I'm here. I'm in your daily life. I know what's going on. I know these conversations. I'm with you, daddy. I'm with you, mama. I'm, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, just sitting and making the time to just sit in the quiet and set the intentions to connect with them. And also, you know, if you do go down this path, and, you know, we've now taken classes with Suzanne Giesman and Kay Reynolds and, you know, all sorts of people, Jane, you know, and, you know, because I'm always in like this world of mediums and we're practicing and so forth, I'm always getting messages from him. Like, I get readings all the time. I get texts all the time that say, oh, Caleb popped in and so-and-so, you know, he says this. And so he's so very present in my world, sort of through this exploration.
That's right. That's so cool.
And yeah. I just got this hit as you were talking about that duckling bit that, mm-hmm. you know, like when they get through, like, there's like the celebration. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've perceived Caleb just right then going like,
like touchdown. Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Totally. Like confetti gun. How fun. I was thinking about it just yesterday. Like, what's it like to be in spirit and be trying to get through to these dense humans?
Frustrating.
I mean, I would think so. And I was like, I'm not looking forward to that because I'm going to be like, you know, circling around on my own. And so I sort of asked my spirit team, I was like, does it suck? And they were like, come on, it's great. Like, you've talked to enough spirits to know that they're stoked. But I had little human anxiety. I was like, oh, how's that going to be? Like,
what do I have to knock over? Yeah. Like, really? Yeah.
But I do feel like some are better at it than others. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, some spirits are super genius at getting through. But to your point, that openness, that availability, that like, hey, like, you know, as mediums, you know, we even turn on the light, like open for business or whatever. But like, as just a normal human in grief, like, you know, it's just like this wild and profound trust. Like, they will find you, you will get there. And the grief might inhibit that for a little bit, but they're there.
Yeah.
And they're coming.
I mean, I think once you open your eyes up to it, open to it, it's everywhere.
And the signs are everywhere.
Yeah. And I have to say, now that, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm not at my mediumship level where you are, but I'm practicing it and I've had really profound experiences, giving readings to people. And, you know, once you've sat there and you've connected with the spirit and you've had a back and forth and they've made you say things or laugh or, you know, you've had this call and you can feel like how very real and present like that spirit is. And there's just no doubt anymore. Like, you know, once you actually realize that the spirit world is right here. And I think taking that next step from, you know, first being open to other mediums and having that experience and, you know, listening and trusting that to exploring it and then trying it yourself and then having the experience of being able to connect on your own is just like, it's full circle and it just, you know, it just serves to, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but just that it's so completely clear to me that they are so very well and present and available.
So. And you just summed up the whole point of our podcast.
And that's what we're doing here, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I've got the strong feeling this is one of many, right, Sarah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Eliza's going to be our permanent guest. And we also need to have Carla on, too. So it'd be fun to have you and Carla on together.
We would have so much fun. We would love that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you for bringing not only Caleb in the room with you, like I do. It's really cute. You just turned your camera a little bit. And now I see him above you. Oh, so yeah. I don't know if you knew that you did that. But I was like,
you mean his picture?
Yeah, his picture. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's here, but also his physical picture is above you. And so thank you for bringing just all of your wisdom and your just beauty and like, just what an incredible, I just feel very filled up and thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are doing a beautiful thing here. So. And it's a pleasure to listen to you guys and hear where this goes. Cause I mean, it's life changing. It's life changing. And, you know, I think it's really, really meaningful and it for parents and grief specifically. I mean, you can really save lives this way. That might sound a little dramatic, but it's not.
Right.
I mean, I think it's kind of like, we can leave you this, but I feel like there's been a few things that mediums have told me that have really like just blown my mind wide open and really given me permission to move forward. And one of them was Laura Lynn Jackson again, who said something like, you know, when you cross over to the other side, it's like, as a spirit, you're in the audience and you're watching all of us on Earth and in this play. And it's kind of going by in a time lapse. It's going by quickly, but they're right there with you. And they know, like, the moment that the play is over, you can all be together backstage and you'll all be together again, you know? And so this sense that, you know, it is, right? Like, and that's what I think about, like, okay, we chose this life together. Well, if I chose for this to happen, I knew I was going to see him right after this life was over. And then the other thing was my Carla in Maui said to me, she channeled Caleb at some point and said that when he crossed, you know, it was like coming out from under the ground, popping up through a manhole into this beautiful sunlit world. Oh. And it was so beautiful and expansive and full of love and light that he said something like, I could see you there. I could see the grief, like it started to hit you that you were losing me. And this is a boy who never wanted to leave my side. And he's like, I was almost torn at that moment between this beautiful world here that I was experiencing and also trying to, you know, be with you. And obviously he can do all of it at once. But think about that, the idea of like how beautiful it is over there, you know, that sort of metaphor, that's always stuck with me. So,
Well, so before we go, Eliza, I just want to talk about my beautiful necklace. we'll link this, of course, in the show notes.
Oh, I have this. I have the same one on.
Oh,
I have one on too. It's hard to see in the
But can you tell us a little bit about this? Is jewelry that you've made that I love and wear pretty much daily that I received as a gift from Sarah? But tell us about this and how it relates to Caleb.
Before he passed, I had a jewelry business. It was a small jewelry business that I loved doing. And when he crossed over, I abandoned it because what could feel more trivial than jewelry, you know, when your son has just passed. And so, you know, I don't know, just circling back to, how like these gifts, like the gift of mediumship and this knowing can help you, give you permission to move forward and enjoy your life with knowing that they're alongside you. I was able to pick it up a few years later and sort of relaunch the jewelry, the brand in his name. And it was my cousin's idea actually to brand it using his middle name, which is Kalani, which is a middle Hawaiian name. And it actually means from the heavens.
Oh.
And so I know, right? And so I basically relaunched it under his name. We designed a logo with his name. We put his little face up there, and it's just, it makes me so happy.
It's such beautiful jewelry.
To see his name there, to have a tribute to him. And it just felt right, in that moment. So,
well, we'll link that in the show notes as well, so everybody else can check it out.
Yeah. And he used to draw me little pictures of like, Mama, you should make this. I've got a picture of like a hand with like beads and how they should go in order of a necklace. And, so I did feel like, oh, that we were co-creating. And I think Laura Lynn Jackson also said in her reading, you will start designing jewelry in his name. And I couldn't hear that for a while. But I eventually got to a spot where it felt right. So,
well, they're inspired. I mean, like I said, I'm obsessed with this. But then when I went on your site and I purchased for a friend here on Island, I was like, I love it all. Like it's ridiculously beautiful. But I mean, it's like any art form. Like, some art has inspiration. Like it has that kind of extra bling in the case of jewelry. But it seems like you're still co-create. Do you feel like you kind of?
I do. And I also feel like, you talk about like different ways to meditate or connect. I mean, part of the reason that I don't have all these other people making it for me is because I enjoy the creative process, and I enjoy actually producing it, because I'm in my nook. I'm listening to, podcasts, mediumship, whatever. And I'm making my jewelry, and it's kind of my meditative time to connect with him, to kind of delve into this world. So it feels just like it all fits together. And it feels good. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, it fits with your crystals, like the crystal that you are. And then you put crystals on other humans. So.
Well, thanks for sharing that. That's inspiring. You just inspire me.
You guys are very inspiring. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, we look forward to having you back with us again. In the meantime, lots of love. We love you. I love you, Eliza. I'm really happy to get to spend some time with you. I love you, Sarah. I love you, everyone. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Medium Curious is made possible
by Jane Morgan Editing.
Sarah Rathke made the amazing music.
And Gigi Hawkins, podcast consultant.
Mix by podcast engineers. Our logo was created by Eric Allen.
Kyle Hansen McKee, photography.
And the dogs under the desk in Hawaii are Kalea and Domino.
And Trixie in California.